Anticipated length of the meeting, I think that we'll go ahead and get started right on time. We appreciate all of the agency representatives that have come for today's discussion. I'm Susan Fowler. I serve as president of the Mental Health Board, and we are going to have a brief discussion of each of the projects. But before we start that, I'd like to turn to Stephanie and ask her to do the roll call.
Tom Moore.
Here.
Judy O'Connor.
Here.
Joe Omo Asagie. Elaine Palencia.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Julian Rappaport.
Here.
Ann Robin.
Here.
Margaret White. Susan Fowler.
Here. Second item on item three on the agenda is public participation. Again, because we have 40 proposals to talk about today, we would like to limit public participation to as short as possible. We will, of course, have other meetings this year. Do we have some individuals here who would like to engage in public participation? And if so, please come up and know that we will limit you to 5 minutes. Okay.
Is it on now?
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm announcing it at this busy meeting. But last month, Dr. Linda Darum retired. She'd been the psychiatrist participating in our mental health services with Francis Nelson for 10 years. She was instrumental in integrating behavioral health with the primary medical care at Francis Nelson. And she stopped seeing patients at our health center in March, but helped to recruit her replacement. So we're very fortunate that Dr. Archana Chopra started at our health center this month. And so we were able to have a psychiatrist leave and a psychiatrist start, in addition to having Dr. Young and Dr. Sue at our Walnut Street Clinic at Rosecrans. And so Dr. Chopra is at our health center on Mondays and Thursdays. We have her for more hours, and because her practice is slightly different, for more capacity than Dr. Darum had. It's reflected in the proposal because I knew it was coming, but I just want to let people know that we are accepting new patients to psychiatry. So for people listening, I don't want you to jump the provider you have. Ask your provider, if you have a provider, to work it out with them to switch. But for people who don't have a psychiatrist right now, I want to let people know that we are open to new patients.
Thank you. Any other public participation? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the approval of the agenda. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda? All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, great. Approval of the minutes from last month, pages 3 to 6. Thank you. A second? Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. I'm going to defer president comments. Lynn, are you deferring? Financial information, item 8, is on pages 7 to 12. I would look for a motion to approve the financial information for any discussion that might be questions that board members might have. You move?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second? Julian?
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
I just have one question. On the first page, is having to do with the solar is $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets deposited once a year. And,
okay.
Yep.
This is the time.
Okay. Any other questions, comments? All those in favor of approving the financial information, say aye.
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 Great. Okay, this is wonderful. We're now moving to, I believe, new business. And new business is what we're hoping the majority of this meeting will be focused on. We have 40 proposals. Mark and Lynn and Chandra and Stephanie and others have worked really hard to put together the package. Thank you so much. It was really useful to have the summaries. Very, very helpful. If I could say a few things about the process that we're using as a board. This year we wanted to engage the board as much as possible in a review of applications. We have about 40 proposals, and each of the board members has agreed to serve as a primary reviewer on approximately 5 or 6, and as a secondary reviewer on approximately 5 to 6, which means that all of us have closely read somewhere between 10 and 12 proposals out of the 40. Now, some may have read all 40 as well, but people have agreed to be the local expert with our agencies out there for questions on each of the proposals. We're trying this out for this year. We haven't had this kind of approach before, but it has, and we'll see how it goes. Probably our biggest issue today is, can we do it in a timely fashion? Because we would like to complete this by 8 o'clock this evening. By completing it, I mean discussion of each of the proposals, not approving or funding or agreeing, but simply going through the proposals, raising questions, and then in May we come back for the actual funding decisions. As you know, we have four priorities plus a category for other, which are longstanding contracts. I've asked the members of the board to look at a number of issues as they examine the proposals, which priority the proposals fit into. Priority one is with the Developmental Disability Board. We won't be discussing that today because we're waiting to hear from the DD board on proposals they would like us to examine and support. Priority two is a system of care for youth with serious emotional disturbance and families who have multi-system involvement. Priority three is behavioral support for adults with justice system involvement. And priority four is innovative practices to support citizens' access to core services that are not funded by local behavioral health authorities. Each of the reviewers looked at overarching priorities such as underserved populations, countywide access, cultural and linguistic competence plans, inclusion, anti-stigma efforts, budget and program connectedness, what is it that we're buying, and then also secondary support decisions, the innovativeness of the proposal, the staff credentials and their training, and whether the proposals were leveraging resources within the community or the state to have as maximum an impact as possible. So looking to see if proposals were able to access other funds in addition to the Mental Health Board funds. So we will proceed. We will note what priority each of the proposals is because we've set up the books into packets in an alphabetical order. I've had some informal discussion with board members, and we will follow that order. In the future, I think we would prefer to follow the priority order so that we talk about all of priority two together, all of priority three together, all of priority four together. Doing that right now would mean switching pages between two packets, and it might get a little confusing, discombobulating. So we will, when we come back for a study session on the 17th, talk about them in terms of by priority, and we will fund them in terms of by priority. So with that, any questions from the board members about the process? Anne.
We talked about how long we have for each board member to present their summary.
Yes. So maximum for each proposal is between 3 and 4 minutes if we're going to finish by 8 o'clock. And the purpose of the presentation is to indicate if there's any concern or question about the proposal meeting the priorities and criteria that we had set up. If there's no concern, then I think it can be a very quick, this is a proposal we've funded for a long time. It's doing exactly what it proposes to do, no questions. If there are questions, and there are some proposals with questions, the board members will raise those questions, and we will put those in writing for the agency to respond. And Lynn, could you address the responses?
All responses should be delivered to our office, emailed to our office, or mailed to the office by 4:30 p.m. Monday, May 8th, so that we can be sure to include them in the next board packet and online.
So we won't be going into deep discussion with the agencies tonight because we just wouldn't be able to get through the proposals, but I do know that we have questions on several proposals that we would like more information from the agencies, and we will articulate those, and we will also put them in writing so that it's clear. Anything else from board members? Oh, and as we run out of space, please fill in chairs. We don't want people standing for the time period of the meeting. We also have empty chairs around the table. So, okay. With that, the first proposal in the packet is Champaign County Children's Advocacy Center, and Ann, you're the lead on that.
All right. Well, this is... serves the priorities of youth, and there's some criminal justice involvement as the youth are victims of potential crimes. Some of the children served are also developmentally disabled, so there might be some collaboration there. This is an organization that we've supported for a number of years. The amount of money that they're asking is the same as last year, and it looks very reasonable, and so I would support it.
Great. And I have Margaret's comments. She was the secondary reviewer, and she pretty much says the same thing. So I won't add to that.
Time? What was that, Stephanie?
That was...
less than a minute? All right. There you go.
That was 3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm starting all over again. Okay, so the next proposal, Lynn, do you want to just kind of tell us who's doing what next?
I have to have the right key in front of me. All right.
Here's another key.
So the next one is RPC's Community Services for the Justice System Diversion Services Program, and that is...
Rappaport.
Oh,
that's me. So this is a new proposal for the board. It's a priority three, I think it is, criminal justice diversion. It's a collaboration with the CCRPC Social Services and the Rantoul Police Department. And what it's asking for is to establish a position for an MSW coordinator who would also supervise interns from the U of I School of Social Work. The work would be located in Rantoul, which is good, and in... also outreaching to homes and people in the community. So it matches a lot of the ways we want to be thinking. Their target people are people who seen by a police officer as a crisis intervention specialist, and people who had a domestic violence incident. And there's the goal is to reduce repeat issues of a mental health episode and or domestic violence. It's a pretty logically presented program, I think. The only question that I would raise, and I think maybe the people will be able to handle answering this, is as I read what they're expecting to provide in terms of services, I think they're suggesting that they're through direct program services, they expect to reach 150 cases. With one social worker, that struck me as a lot of stuff, a lot of people. So I guess what I'm interested in is being reassured about exactly what the services are and that they would be good quality.
I was happy that it was a rental-based program.
Questions are, what are the services that they're providing, what's the quality, and to what services are they making the referrals?
Yeah, I guess.
More information on that.
Raising the question, are you over-promising the numbers of people that you'll be able to provide the service for?
Okay.
You can say, no, we're not, we can do this, but I'd like to hear how you're thinking about it.
Okay, great. So moving on to the next one, that was the time.
The next one is RPC's Youth Assessment Center Companion Proposal, and the primary was Judy O'Connor.
This is renewal funding, and the proposal is to provide additional screening and more intense supportive services to high-risk youth with repeated police contact that are brought or referred to the Youth Assessment Center. They're ages 10 to 17. It's a countywide and underserved population. Their staff is really impressive. They're associated with the court diversion, law enforcement, trauma. They have volunteers and youth and community members who are involved, and social work interns, which is always good to know that we're bringing people into our programs. I didn't have any questions. I think that it's an important funding source for us.
The secondary reviewer isn't here, but will be later. Are there other board members who have a comment or question about this proposal? I have one, and that is this proposal has moved up from $26,000 to $76,000, so it's a much larger budget, and I would like some clarification on the new roles of the law enforcement position within the proposal, because it appears that we may be paying for a law enforcement position or a law-related position which seems beyond the scope of the Mental Health Board. So I'll prepare that as a question that can go to the CCRPC. Any other questions? Okay. So moving on.
Champaign-Urbana Area Project. The first application is for CU Neighborhood Champions, and the primary reviewer is Margaret White.
Okay, and I am covering Margaret while she is unfortunately away today. So Margaret's comments were... They're not in order, I apologize. Okay, so this is a proposal. This is the CU Neighborhood Champions that is serving youth and families affected by violence and abuse, high rate of gun crime in their neighborhood. It meets priority three and addresses many of the overarching priorities. The Mental Health Board is the sole funder for this project, and so one question is whether there are efforts to look for additional sources of funding that could be leveraged. The other question is the proposal is requesting $95,000, which is quite a bit more than the initial proposal last year of $19,000. We know that we're in year two of the CU Neighborhood Champions, but at this point there's no data available yet from last year, and questions that Margaret raised, which we will provide in writing, is how will those trained as neighborhood champions utilize their skills, and how do we know if that training changes the outcomes, and is there a partnership with other public health, local mental health agencies that already provide some training that could have an impact on reducing the cost? So are there collaborative efforts that might have a positive impact on neighborhood champions and somewhat reduce the cost of the program? Those are the questions. Others from board members?
Kyle was a second reader.
Kyle? Do you have anything you want to add? Okay. Anybody else? So I think there's a desire to make sure that there's no duplication of effort by identifying other agencies that might also be providing training and how there's collaboration, in summary. Okay, next one.
The next one is CU Area Project Truce, and the primary reader was Tom Moore.
Okay. This is a program that we have funded before last year, but that was its first year, so it essentially really is a first-year program. And they were receiving like $75,000. They're asking for $167,000. It's a priority two program, systems of care, youth and family service, mental health. And it seems to me, as I read it, it was a very comprehensive approach to dealing with this violence and being violence interrupters. They provide emotional and practical support to victims of gun violence and to families of gun violence and to high-risk youth in gangs, possible gangs and street violence. They go out, actually, and respond to shooting incidents. In 2016, there were 126 of those and four homicides. And, again, they provide support. And some of that support is like with funeral arrangements and finding housing, helping people move out of the neighborhood into what they consider or what they would like to be a more safer place to live. And they do something like they hold peace summits in the community, And so it's a community act. They do community anti-violence education, and they work with community partners and with CU neighborhood champions. They do the trauma response teams, and they liaise them with Fresh Starts, and they serve as mentors, and they partner with Aim High. What they say is that Truce will target juveniles to youth adults ages like 15 to 26, according to the National Institute of Justice continuity of offering from juvenile into adult years is higher for people who start offending at a earlier age, chronic delinquents and violent offenders. In the past 3 years, the number of homicides and shootings in this age range in Champaign has reached epidemic proportions. I think that's pretty much all I have about them. Okay. Say?
Okay, good summary. I do have a question. Last year, the funding was $75,000, and this year it's more than three times that. So it's a huge increase. And it was a little unclear to me exactly why it's such a huge increase and exactly how that money is to be used. So I guess that could be stated as a question. And I guess the secondary question is, you know, if this is working with this, you know, are they working with the CU Neighborhood Champions, and how is the collaboration with that? So I hate to say getting bang for your buck when we're talking about preventing shootings, but there you go. There's my bad joke. Okay. Don't put that in the minutes.
I think it can be a question which Ann just raised in terms of why the substantial increase. I raised it for Margaret in terms of the CU Neighborhood Champions. We do know that the request for funding right now is $800,000 above what's available for funding. So more than that potentially, but
$850,000 and $900,000.
So clearly not everything can be funded that has been proposed or funded at the rate at which proposed. So we're looking at those questions right now.
We'll have to get to that, obviously.
Yep, yep. Study session May 17th, probably. Okay, next person.
Next we have Community Foundation Dream House, and the primary reader is Kyle Patterson.
So this is a new request. This is a new organization, is that correct? Yeah. It's the Dream House. Seems like the bulk of it will be an after-school program. There's also a four-week intensive summer program. Their main focus is to provide social-emotional learning. They are targeting young African-American boys, age range, looks like K through 5. I guess there was some questions about funding sources. I guess that we're providing about 68%, I believe, of their budget, and they hadn't listed what their additional funding sources were. I think of some of the questions. There's not really a reference of where the house would be or what type of facilities they'd be utilizing. So I guess that was a question that I had. But, I mean, it seemed like a positive program, kind of an interesting approach.
Elaine, you had the secondary.
Yes, I just have a couple of things. This is priority two, part of the developing and sustaining the system of care for youth with serious emotional disturbance and families who have multi-system involvement. And at the title of it is Community Foundation Dream House, and I was not clear what part the Community Foundation plays from the application, so I would like to know that. And then there is some issue about that was detected by the staff of their being a surplus, and so I would like to know more about that. If all of our funds are going to be expended, what is the surplus about? So.
Yeah, I think that ties back into the file observation about revenue.
Yeah.
And then I would add questions about what will the process be for referral screening and length of participation, and how does this, which appears to be primarily located in Champaign, intersect with the other after-school programs, summer programs like the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club and the Urbana Neighborhood Connections.
Oh, okay, I guess that's mine again. And this is the Community Service Center of Northern Champaign County. And as I read it, this is a place in Rantoul specifically. So it's, again, serving people in Rantoul and Northern Champaign County rural areas. So it's specifically oriented toward them. And some of the clients are developmentally disabled. And they basically refer to, it's multiple services. So they've got food bank, computer, WIC, public health, Courage Connection. They pull in a lot of social service agencies in one site. And there was a note that Rosecrans had dropped out, but it may be back in, and that was a question that I had. So the amount of money that they're requesting is about the same as we've given them before, so no change. And it looks like it's a functioning outfit that serves a lot of people. Multidimensional. So my only question is Rosecrans back in? Well, while you're looking for that, the note I wrote was one-stop shopping for people. They can get a lot of things taken care of in one place.
So Margaret was impressed by the fact that there are potentially 18 agencies that are utilizing, or 21 agencies that are utilizing the space and the one-stop shopping. And she also pointed out the importance of social media and...
So far away from you.
She also pointed out she was impressed with the one-stop shopping, the number of agencies involved, 21, and the use of social media, particularly the homepage, and was hoping to have more information about how many clients are reached through social media. I think that's an interesting question, but not a mandatory question for funding.
Next is Courage Connection, and the primary reader was Julian Rappaport. That microphone's not on either.
Your mic?
Turn your mic on.
Must have gone off all by itself. So it's a request for $66,000, which is approximately the same amount. It is exactly the same amount we gave them last year. Their overall budget is quite large, and most of their money comes from other sources. And the proposal says that this money is important to leverage state funds. which is miraculous if it does that. I mean, we ought to get some sort of award if it does that. So I see... I didn't turn it off. It doesn't want to hear me. Can you hear me anyway?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to repeat what I just said, do I?
It's been a functioning program.
Yeah, it's been a functioning program funded in part by us for some time. I do have one question, and I'm not sure if the question's for them or for the RPC program that was discussed earlier. Is there some connection or planned relationship between those two programs?
Jillian, you're referring to Courage Connections presence up in Rantoul,
right,
and the proposal from RPC.
Yes. Okay. I'm wondering if, like, is somebody working on that relationship and how these things would work together?
I think we could probably ask that of both agencies.
Pardon me?
We could probably direct that question to both.
To both agencies. Okay, great.
Only thing that I thought we might, this sounds like a program that could also be a priority for an innovative program. I think the, that's right, the targets that they're approaching is very innovative, and it's very much needed right now in our area. So I think this is a real good program to.
And just one last comment. I read in the paper that Courage Connections is overdue in receiving funding. So we're hoping that they're not closing in 2 weeks, but there's that possibility. And good.
We're not closing.
Not closing.
Not closing.
Okay, great.
Okay. So then, moving on, aren't you also having a fundraiser?
Many over the course of the next several weeks.
Okay.
All right. Next is, thank you. Next is Crisis Nursery. Judy O'Connor was the primary reader.
This is the Beyond Blue program, and it works early intervention with parents and babies in a positive environment for the babies to develop. It helps with stress with the parents, gives positive peer leadership. The outcome for the children who have been in this program is that they're better adjusted in the school and have more social skills, which is so important for success. The mothers who enter the program often return if they are expecting another child, and so it's a continuum for a family to be successful. They sometimes become volunteers in the Beyond Blue program. They're asking for an increase of $5,000. Over half of the mothers live outside of Champaign-Urbana, which is a positive. The staff have bachelor's degrees, and they're supervised by a strong family program director and the executive director. And I got an email that a family specialist has a master's of science in family and consumer screening with a concentration on human development and family studies. It's a priority four, I think, and I just feel that this is a strong program for our area and under good leadership.
Is it a five? Innovative.
Okay. I had a question mark by four. I wasn't sure where to put that.
Any other comments on Crisis Nursery?
Julian?
I'll make one fast comment, which we probably can't do anything about, but I often wonder why we can't get the public health department to contribute to this program. Making that as a public statement because it needs to be said. Rural public health.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is that intended as a question to the agency?
No. Oh. Well, I think it's a
question to us. I put it down.
Oh, you can
agency.
Ask the agency. Sure, that'd be great. I mean, I have no objection. It seemed to me, in fact, I know it to be appropriate for them to contribute to.
Julian, I might add that public health is one of the referrals to this Beyond Blue program, along with the WIC program, doctors and hospitals. So they're very aware of our program.
It started out as one of their programs. Okay. So there's a long history to I'm asking about.
So the question is, are there funds coming in, or could there be funds coming in from public health or
right.
rural public health?
Especially given our stress for reaching our need to stretch the amount of funding we have given to the number of requests we have and so on,
right.
It seems to me to be completely appropriate for public health to participate with us in this program.
Okay. Very good.
The next is Cunningham Children's Home Resiliency Project, and Elaine Palencia was the primary reader.
Yes, this is a new program that's asking for almost $100,000. And I guess I would call it kind of pre-priority, too, because it's looking at younger children than we usually look at for priority, too. The proposal is to provide early intervention to pre-K through elementary school age at-risk children and their families around the idea that early trauma can result in developmental and functional impairment. So there's going the idea is to assess children in terms of sensory integration, self-regulation, and in relational and cognitive areas and develop a treatment plan. And so there will be direct service to the child, but the construction, I guess, of what's called a therapeutic web, which would be the people concerned with the child's development, and there would be some training for them. And the target number is 18 TPCs and 2 non-treatment plan clients, and we are the sole funding source for this, and it's a research-based proposal and seems to be operating out of the counseling center there, the Hope Springs, and share resources with it. I do have a couple of questions. Nothing wrong with stretching the system of care, certainly. I was wondering how it would relate to Head Start, which has the same population on that end, if there's going to be any relationship, collaboration, referral, whatever. And my other question is simply this. We are listed as the sole funder for this particular part of Cunningham, and I just wonder about that, why that is, coming out of a fairly large overall agency budget, why there's no leveraging of any kind for this.
And as a secondary reviewer, one of my questions is, how will these funds, the $100,000 almost, be used to leverage other funds? And I'm assuming that they will be able to charge Medicaid or other third-party insurers for certain children, or are those children being excluded, or children who, or are these only children who have no third-party payment or no Medicaid? So And then is it possible for Cunningham to redirect some of their other funds? It just seemed like a lot of money without some kind of underlying support effort from Cunningham. Other questions by the board? Certainly not saying it's not an important program, but
right.
Yeah. Okay.
Next, our Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club. There are three applications. The first one is CU Change. Margaret White was the primary reader.
Thanks. Funding represents 38% of the total program budget. Oops, that's stopped from the CU Change provides intensive support to that takes place primarily within the local schools during the day and then after school at the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club. Life skills is a primary focus. There is parental involvement. There's also recreation, sports, and other activities and service learning activities. The students who are involved have a number of risk factors that are taken into account in terms of their access to the program. However, there are no access-related measures defined, so being a bit more specific about the referral screening and engagement would be really helpful. And I think those were the only questions that Margaret raised. Secretary was
If I may, Susan, the total budget is $100,000. The 35 or 36% is actually an error on their part in completing the financial forms, and that's a similar error also is present in the youth and family peer the youth and family services application. So you'll see a correction in at least in the staff program summary in regards to that. So
maybe a final comment is that the CU Change is in some ways very similar to the Urbana Neighborhood Connections and the Muhammad Youth Program. They're both after-school support programs. And Margaret did note that the expense for the Don Moyers program was significantly
for the other after-school program. And so addressing the expense, making sure that the two issues. Okay. Next is the Coalition Summer Youth Initiatives, and the primary reader was Tom Moore.
This is a program that is requesting a $107,000, which is the same as what we funded them for last year. It's a priority two program, system of care, youth and families, and mental health. It's also a pretty unique program in that it's mostly Don Moyer then subcontracts with about 14 other subcontractors. 14, yeah, that actually are deliver the service. My only concern, question would be, how do you assess 14 different programs that are doing things again? They say that the first component will be for services and supports provided by specialized service providers, which I like that idea very much. who will be directly accountable to the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club. And second component will be for Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club to provide administration, coordination, and support services to assure that all programs and services provided under this contract are fully integrated. The activities are promoting positive development and work experience as appropriate for youth from 9 to 18, and so that would be their target group. Just give me a couple of the subcontractors they're going to work with. They'll be working with the Champaign Schools on leadership and academic achievement, working with Urbana Schools, summer employment and training, doing the Midnight Basketball Youth for Christ Target Initiative. So these are things that that are already in existence and probably need to keep going. And I think it's just a unique way of giving money to an agency who then subcontracts it out in a way that fits our community best. So that's pretty much all I have to say about it.
Okay, it's on. I
echo what Tom says, and
this sounds like a very innovative and worthwhile
project, which could actually be associated with the criminal justice, in that these youth who have these opportunities won't be going that direction as likely. That would be an outcome that we would anticipate, although it's hard to prove. The way I read the proposal,
a staff question or a Don Moyers question. Additional detail to be provided in writing.
Okay. Any other comments on this proposal? Okay. Joseph is not here for the next one, but Julian is the secondary. I don't know if we should hold this or
the Youth and Family Services?
Well, I wasn't prepared as the primary reviewer. Right. I can say a few things,
okay.
But I was planning on hearing what Joe had to say. But you want me to say? I can say what I want to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right. I assume he'll have something to say about it later. But I wasn't planning on describing the program. So.
Well, we can hold this.
Let me... Why don't we wait? Because I think it'll sound more coherent if he describes the program, and then I can add whatever commentary I want to make.
So you're next, Susan. This is the East Central Illinois Refugee Mutual Assistance Center Family Support and Strengthening.
So you'll have to keep me to keep
you on.
This is a program that has been fairly long-term in nature. It's has been funded, I believe, under the other or Category 5. It has a range of supports for new immigrants. It's really quite impressive in terms of the amount of work that they do. Their funding from the Mental Health Board represents 12% of their overall funds. They're asking for $25,000. This is a substantial increase from the year before, but they have always kept their requests quite low. So the year before was $19,000. This year is $25,000. They have countywide access. They have contributions and United Way funds as well. And they do substantial amount of fundraising. I think it's very effective, and
long-serving program. Well connected to social services, schools, courts, I think it would be a tremendous loss to the international community and to our local community. Second.
Do you have any questions?
I had no questions. Judy?
I will just have to say that I had an opportunity to hear the director speak, and she is such a talented lady. We are so blessed to have her. I just wanted to add one of the areas that they support is domestic violence. They also have tutoring on Saturday morning, and that is so helpful to parents to direct our children. And those students are tutored by volunteers from the University of Illinois, and that makes me feel very good about the university supporting our programs. That's all.
I just want to say real quickly that this program has been around a long time, way before we started paying attention to refugees and to immigrants, and they have done a yeoman's job on a little bit of money. I frankly think they never asked for enough, but that's a different story. But you're right. I think it would be a terrible loss to this community if something happened to the refugee.
Yeah, I guess I just have one question to the agency is why don't they ask for more money? They are doing such good work, and they're just used to working with no money at all. Maybe they could teach everybody else how to work with no money. I don't know. Thanks.
So that'll be a written question.
I just have a comment to that. I had received their newsletter, and they said their donations, which they rely on, are down substantially. They hope to bring them up, but I know they work really hard for donation dollars, so that is something that is they are working to do.
A set of applications from Family Service of Champaign County, and the first is counseling, and Kyle Patterson is the primary.
So this is something that we've funded in the past, $25,000 for counseling services, which are referral sources, drug court, but also offers other services or to other demographics. Seem pretty straightforward. I don't know if I really had anything to add to it. You know, it was counseling services. Seems pretty basic. No, I don't have any questions.
Yeah, this aligns with our priority three. They are asking for a 25% increase. It looked like a, you know, very solid program to me, and I was very happy to see they mentioned that clients are often given homework assignments in alternate ways of examining feelings and expressing themselves in art and writing, for example. So offering a different avenue to arrive at insights. I think that's very smart and creative. No questions.
Any other questions from the board? I had a question that basically came from the staff summary, and that is why is the agency not moving to recommendation by the staff is to move to contract versus fee for service
to a grant contract.
To a grant contract. So, Mark, did you want to add to that?
That's a staff suggestion. They did not request that.
Okay.
It just that
has advantages.
I guess they've had some issues in the past in terms of performance. Their contract probably 2 years ago was $50,000. And it's was reduced over the last several years down to $20,000. And this year they clearly will bill the $25,000. And it just seemed like we're, for the fee-for-service contracts, that we are adding an additional level of work required of the agency for what is essentially money that they're demonstrating their ability to bill it out.
Okay. So thank you. Moving on then.
The next one is the self-help center application, and Ann Robin is primary.
Okay, well, the self-help is also a program of family services, and I put it under Category 4. It's innovative practices to support core services. Self-help center basically serves as a database and directory for over 200 local support groups, and they use online and print media, radio. I don't know if they use television, but they're widely disseminate the information. They said 36% of their participants are rural, so they're doing a good job reaching that. And they're asking $28,428, which is actually less than they asked last year. So that's interesting. I think they're the only ones that I saw that were asking for less. But they seem to think what they can get the job done. Mental Health Board is over 90% of their budget. We've supported this for a long time, and I would suggest we continue to support it. Innovative.
And Margaret had no additional comments.
Okay. How many minutes was that?
That was 1.5.
Oh, I thought it was 2. All right.
Senior Counseling and Advocacy, and you are the primary reader.
Okay. So let me find it. Did any board members have questions about the last one while I look? Okay. So the senior counseling and advocacy is a number 4 priority, innovative. It provides services to underserved seniors. It's countywide. The services run from counseling, mental health, advocacy. It includes case management as needed. They use an evidence-based curriculum called PEARLS, and it helps to help seniors retain independent and autonomous living that they might lose without this kind of support. The support provides partial support to 15 positions, 31% of the budget. There's no change in the request of funding. The funding represents 31% of their budget. And the state is the largest single support source, which is a bit of a worry in these days. The outcomes are clear and well summarized. Only question is, are they missing adults with developmental disabilities? Are they being caught in the catchment too? Okay. So secondary is Judy.
I know that the elderly population is the fastest growing population, and it's wonderful. There's an agency that is trying to keep them in their homes, but they target seniors 75 or older living in poverty, and this has to be a important population for us to address. I have no idea in Champaign County if this population is growing, but I think that we need to be aware of all the services that the elderly do need.
Okay.
Good job.
Great. Unless there's a pressing question, can we move on to the next one?
Yeah.
Thanks.
The next one is First Followers, Peer Mentoring for Reentry. And Julian Rappaport is the primary reader.
Okay, so this is a peer mentoring program to reduce stigma of people who've been incarcerated and are coming back into the community. The proposal states that it attempts to avoid the passivity of post-incarceration syndrome by getting people involved in various things, and they do it in a variety of ways. It's a peer counseling program, and they operate a drop-in center, and one of the things they're asking to do now is increase the center, the drop-in center, from 2 days a week to 3 days a week. And then there's some three other projects that they wish to engage in. One is to educate employers. Another is to pilot a workforce development course for I think they said, 6 individuals, 8 weeks, 32 hours a week. And then to develop a reentry guide. Now, the budget has multiple difficulties that the staff has identified. I'm not going to repeat what the staff had to say about that. I'm sure those are questions that will need to be addressed. I guess what I would say is this is essentially a doubling of the budget. They're requesting a doubling of the budget that they currently have. It fits our priorities. It's an innovative program. Those are positive things. I'm a little unclear from the proposal why there's a need for a reentry guide, since I know they're aware of the reentry guide that already exists, that the Education Justice Program has developed in this community. It's a pretty good one, too. So maybe that needs to be, that certainly needs to be addressed as to why do they need another one or a different one. There may be a good reason that I don't read in the proposal. I think that's probably most, those are most of the issues that are raised, other than the ones that the staff has also raised around how to present the budget and think that through. So,
Tom?
I have the privilege of being the liaison with these guys, so I end up knowing a lot about the program. Well, about the resource guide, is it's not specific enough for Champaign. The existing resource guide is more Chicago directed than here. But more importantly, this is a program that I think we're not, kind of program that we're not that familiar with. It sounds sterile when you talk about it. From the paper, well, for instance, one of the visions they have is in terms of building an organization and capacity to work with returning felons. So they're not simply delivering, how you would say, services to individual people. They want to create an organization in the community where the community actually embraces and is engaged with the reentry of felons into the community. So sometimes what we say gets lost in the overarching vision that they have for us. And I think in terms of the budget, they're just doing so much more than what they started, you know, what they started out doing, and they're getting far more referrals than what they have.
Okay.
Grow in Illinois, peer support application, and Elaine Palencia is the primary reader.
We heard a very good presentation earlier in the year about this program, which is part of an international movement, a peer support group for people with mental illness. So it's consumer run, and it aligns with our priority for innovative practices. They explained in that presentation how they abruptly lost state funding in 2015. So this is a new request to us, but not a new program. And they invoke research by Julian Rappaport and colleagues in their proposal, which indicates that those who attend these weekly meetings, which are part of a unique network of peer support groups,
psychological areas and then community adjustment. They're asking for $51,735. And I suppose this was just a little tiny omission in the proposal. They speak of their target population as being for all ages, races, and genders, and I hope creed is in there too, but it wasn't mentioned, so I'm just saying. But the staff has noted a couple of things, a couple of questions about the budget. There's, for example, no money budgeted for an audit, and this is enough money that an audit would be required. So those kinds of things need to be straightened out. And I would ask the question about resource leveraging. Are there plans to secure other sources of funding? That's always a question we have when the Mental Health Board is the sole funder. But the proposal itself is really impressive and necessary, I think. They mentioned that they intend by these peer support groups, which are led by certified, trained leaders who come out of that population, and they want to supply the missing link in the mental health system, which is networks of friendship that develop connecting consumers with each other and offering support to each other. So this money is for a field worker, for example, or just a paid staff. It also includes community volunteers in this kind of network that's being constructed. And my other question would be, they have plans for more than one group of this sort in the area. And at the time of writing the proposal, I wasn't sure. They have a community group, and they had plans for a rural group as well, and a group at the jail. And I'd be interested to know how those plans are progressing. But a very, very nice idea, very useful, maybe in the way that Tom is
talking about first followers. It does sound sterile when you say it here, but I remember the presentation was really impressive in terms of what it does for people.
And I was the secondary reader, and the one question I would have is, what are the specific outcome measures that will be identified and used to assess success? Other than that, that's it.
Can I make
a
comment? So I want to say a couple quick things. One is I don't want anybody to be misled by the reference to me in that I did research on this model many years ago in the 1980s, and I had a National Institute of Mental Health grant, and I did a big study of it, and I did it internationally and so on. So, but I have not been a part of this for many years, and there are people, I don't know the individuals involved in it at the present time. The other thing I wanted to say is when I looked at the proposal, and it interestingly, it actually could be even better, I think, and maybe we could ask them to include, they have a whole lot of, they have a system. It's not just groups. They have a whole methodology of how the groups run. If they're doing the model that I understand Grow to be, it involves a whole set of procedures. It goes through steps. And they also have a methodology for group expansion. And so many of the questions that readers might have would easily, I think, be answered if they would include that information.
Julian, could you jot those down? Because that would be very helpful for passing on to them. Thank you. Okay, moving on to the next one.
Got Muhammad Area Youth Club. The first application is BLAST, and the primary reader was Tom Moore.
Okay, they're currently being funded at like $15,000 for the year, and the request is for $15,000, so they're not asking for any increase. This is a priority two project, and with regards to their rural outreach, they say that all participants of the BLAST program can be considered rural residents. So I think that's pretty interesting here. The services they want to deliver are enrichment activities, academic help, cultural and community-based programs, sort of what Susan referred to earlier as kind of a after-school program. They are partnered with the Mohammed Seymour Schools, and they use those district facilities because they think it provides a safe environment for children to stay in their own schools. And they, because of this program, they end up having different, and I would get, I mean, they have additional contact with teachers, and I would guess it would have different contact in the context that they're working in. Volunteers are also part of this program. Looks like classes are offered for 6 weeks from Monday through Thursday. It's 60 to 90 minutes at a shot. And it's all the kids from K to 12 are involved. I had a question of, is it just public school kids, or could it be non-public school kids that will participate in that as well? And one last thing I had. They claim that they can leverage this money, particularly with the schools. And I hear us asking that question a great deal of programs. So I wonder if we should decide how to offer a program or a workshop for our agencies about leveraging money, give them a sense of how you go about doing all of them. They may all know, and some of them may not know, but it might be a nice service for us to provide. So that's all I have. Oh, the other question is, I wonder what kind of connection they do have with the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club in this program. So, because they bring the kids into... Yeah, that's what I'm asking for. Because they do, so they bring the kids into Champaign to... They bring the kids into Champaign to do certain kinds of things. So do they combine those and do things together? Oh, they do also say that they're serving low-income families considerably. So.
Yeah, I guess I just left my mic on. You must have been hearing me breathing or something. First of all, I really like the name of this program, BLAST. I think that's excellent. And I have a question written down here about how do they evaluate success of their program. And it looked to me like since they're associated with the school, it would be not too difficult to look at school attendance or school performance or some other school success-related measures that they could incorporate into their program. So that would be a question to them. And Margaret White was the primary reader on the first application, which is criminal justice substance use treatment.
This is a program that serves adults with justice system involvement, involves substance abuse screening and case management. It's active in Champaign, Rantoul, and Urbana. Meets priority three. It attempts to engage clients while they're incarcerated. It also has additional state funds. The relationship of this project, the question that Margaret had is, to what extent does this project relate to the Rosecrans Criminal Justice Project, which also is present in the jails, and to what extent do they coordinate with each other? And the funding request for this is, $10,000, so it's one of the smaller requests. And it is a small part of their budget. 40%. That's all that I have. Margaret's follow-up was Kyle.
Actually, I had the same question.
Great.
You know, it seems like we have multiple programs that are doing this. So, is there a way for us to ensure that we're not being redundant, mm-hmm. or if there's a way that the county, like, I want to say, allocates people to different agencies so that we can just make sure we're not being redundant?
So, your question is, to what extent are they replicating, duplicating, or collaborating mm-hmm. with Rosecrans? Or serving a different population? Yeah, okay. Okay, next one is Fresh Start, and that's me. Okay, you'll have to do time.
But I can't.
You can't do it both.
I'll do it over here.
Okay, so Fresh Start is a proposal also from Prairie Center Health Systems. Requesting $77,000, which is very similar to last year's request of $75,000. It is part of Priority 2, System of Care for Youth and Families, but also part of 3, Behavioral Health Support for Adults with Justice System Involvement. Their priority is reaching underserved high-risk males who are leaving the justice system. It's very focused on Champaign-Urbana, involves intensive case management, assessment to match the client with community providers, efforts to provide natural supports, and to identify barriers to employment, housing, et cetera. The case manager's supervised by a clinical director. The sole funder of this program is, in fact, I think, the Mental Health Board. Am I correct? So one question would be, are there opportunities to leverage the Community Health Board funds with other funds from the community? We know that this was related to or is an important initiative of the Community Coalition. So looking at ways potentially to expand this with other funding should be investigated. At this point in time, they've recruited 2 sets of participants who have been involved in gun violence. And the other question is, of the 2 sets of participants, what percentage have been retained, and what are the outcomes? And the backup for me is Judy. Okay.
I had one question. If this is an ongoing program, how are we going to fund it in the future? We need a leveraging partner, and when I read through the application, the focus was there were 7 in Champaign, none in Urbana, none in the county. So it seems like we need to look at where the funding comes from, because the focus seems to be on one area. And with it being just a 1-year program, we don't have a lot of feedback from it. I was curious about more funds being asked for it. I think it's a good program, but those were my questions.
Other comments? Ann?
Yeah, I just have a comment. This is a brand new program, is it not? And
it's
definitely an innovative program
mm-hmm.
That is trying to do something unique and different in a difficult environment. And I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, great. Any other comments? Okay, great. Moving on.
Actually, can we go back? Well, we'll give just 5 minutes to get back. Then we'll go back.
All right, I'm next, and I'm going to model for Joseph here how to do this. Although this one is a little bit more difficult for me. This is with the Prairie Center, the Parenting with Love and Limits. And I will admit that I have read as much as I can about this program, and I'm still confused about it. I've also talked with Lynn Canfield. I understand that this is a evidence-based, highly professionally operated program for at-risk youth or youth who have had involvement with the criminal justice system, so that's priorities 2 and 3. The term evidence-based comes up multiple times. The amount of money is quite a bit larger than we provide to any other organization, so I guess that's maybe not a question to the organization, but to the board, that I would need to be convinced that this is such a worthwhile program that we give them so much more money. And we are 100% of the budget for this particular source. So I think I need more education about what this actually provides. There are 60 youth that are being served for $300,000. So if it is evidence-based and it's supervised by trained and qualified staff, that's good. How do we really evaluate the success of this program? Is that part of what we're buying is the evaluation of the success? And I guess I just didn't see that in there. Maybe it was my failure to see that.
Margaret, okay, so the questions from Margaret have to do with the expense, the cost of PLL at $300,000, and then clarifying whether or not the money that goes to the Savannah Family Institute, which oversees the contract and the fidelity of implementation, that money is above and beyond the $300,000. Yes. And so at what point, Margaret's question is, at what point can this program, Parenting with Love and Limits, be moved to a manualized operation or an operation that doesn't require the substantial investment in the Savannah Family Institute? Is it possible, if it's an evidence-based program that's been in effect for quite a few years in our community, to move it to a more autonomous program? That was that. Any other questions about PLL at Prairie Health Center?
Should we continue Prairie Center and then go to Joe's?
Yeah, let's finish up Prairie Center and then we'll.
Next is prevention. And the primary reader is Julian Rappaport.
Oh, okay. So let me find it. Oops. It's right here. Okay, so this is a school-based program. Apparently we've been supporting it for quite some time. That is correct, right? Yeah, and there are very specific curriculum that are used for middle school students. I think it's 4th through 8th grade. It takes place. Pardon me?
Too good for drugs.
Yeah. So there's some pretty, and it has a set of assessments and measurements of kind of pre and post what they're learning and so on. I think it's a fairly straightforward school-based drug prevention, information-based program. I think perhaps to be efficient here, the main question I would raise is the one that the staff has also noted. So they're asking for an increase from 58,000 plus to 65,000 and plus because there's a portion of the program that was supported by a grant to
the Urbana Middle Schools, which apparently, though, was comes through the state or from the state, but it was a planned reduction. It was part of a time-limited contribution. So now they're asking us to pick that up. And I guess the obvious question to me is, well, why doesn't the school district pick it up? It's not that big a deal. It's not a huge amount of money. They're a fairly large organization. We're already paying the bulk of the cost of the program. So I think that needs to be at least addressed as to whether who, especially since we're concerned with leverage and the number, our funds are actually limited in some larger sense. So I think that's the main question I have has to do with that.
So I would echo that about the school district picking it up, but I have to admit I like the stuff they're doing with role-playing and cooperative learning games, group activities that involve parents. But I have the same question here that is there any way to evaluate what's happening with all of these? Because there's a bunch of kids that actually go through the program. And so how do we know what's going on? But otherwise, I have no thoughts about it.
Other comments or questions from the board?
Okay. Next is specialty courts. And the primary reader was Judy O'Connor.
This is a priority three. Funding request is up 2% from last year. It's adults 18 years and older referred by the Champaign County Court. They're nonviolent offenders. Services are provided at Prairie Center office or a group in Rantoul, so it's not county-wide. They do not go out into the county. Their staff has master's or bachelor's degrees. Services are not billable. There are 99 served. The drug court needs the mental health board funding to continue to be effective. They're asking for a $2,000 increase, and I have had the opportunity to be at the drug court graduation and to experience the positive from the clients that have been served through this program. And if you can save one person, it's a wonderful opportunity, and I think this is great for our community.
And the secondary reviewer on that is, yeah, Jeff.
But when I think about things like drug court, I am thinking more about instead of punishment, how do we rehabilitate our community? And that is one way in which we can get that done. And I think too many times we seem to look to the punitive. So I'm in favor of really giving a hopeful community a larger voice through drug court and intervention here.
Any other comments? Yes, Tom.
I don't know this for sure, but I'm under the impression that it's a pretty successful program, not just through graduation, but in terms of recidivism. So that's what I've been told. So it might be worth trying to find that out. But I'm under the impression that it really does work.
I don't know what the how it's been evaluated over the years, but at least from when I did work with Cognition Works and we did some work with them, I found it to be pretty successful.
It does say it results in higher successful completion rates than simply involvement in 12-step or other recovery groups. Also notes that there's substantial collaboration with the state's attorney, public defender, probation, Rosecrans, Cognition Works, Family Services, and Safe House. Ann?
Yeah, I think this is a very worthwhile program and certainly falls in the category of keeping people out of jail, you know, the diversion to mental health and substance abuse services. The one question that I do have is what's the follow-up on people that have graduated? Because substance abuse is a lifelong disability, illness, and people need long-term management. So the question is, what's the liaison mm-hmm. to further treatment and services after they graduate?
Okay, great. Okay, I think moving on, it's Elaine.
Yes, so this program is asking for the same amount as the current year, $108,000, and from a budget of $140,000 or so. And it identifies itself as the only youth service program in this funding cycle solely focused on substance use treatment. It seems like there's some overlapping of all of that along the sweep of our applications, but this is primarily for youth 12 to 17, and this program has multiple avenues of referral into this. It's part of the Priority 2 system of care continuum, and they have a regular presence at Ready School, at the Juvenile Detention Center, at the Youth Assessment Center, which we've seen an application from. And they develop individual treatment plans, their case management services, including transportation and referral to ancillary services. And they educate family members, so kind of a sweep of services for this population, and the services are offered at schools as well as at Prairie Center. They visit the homes, and then they measure improvement across 12 domains, and they say that Prairie Center outperforms the regional and national averages for improvement in this age group. They want to change from fee for service to a grant. I don't know why that is.
To avoid underbilling.
Yeah, okay. No, we had another one like that. And the staff credentials are clearly described. There's countywide access, so it seemed to me solidly put together and ongoing. There's always the issue of resource leveraging here, as with so many others.
And I would add, as a secondary reviewer, two questions. One is they noted a concern about staff turnover impacting program implementation, and that's perhaps one reason for moving to a grant. How are they addressing staff turnover? And then my second question is, I don't believe it's the only program in the county focused on youth substance abuse, given that Rosecrans has also opened one. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know how the two programs are either working together to avoid duplication or if in fact, they're referring back and forth to each other to ensure that everybody gets services. So how does that work? And that's it. Ann?
Yeah, I have a question. I don't know if I'm the only person in this room who feels like the blood has actually gone to my nether regions. Could we take a short break?
I think we could take a 5-minute break.
Thank you.
We'll set the timer.
Yeah, it's just writing the name, you know, a lot of stuff.